you know, how to run a Braille. You know, a lot of times if they are just learning Braille in 3 months, we may not cover, you know, Braille displays or Braille printer or, you know, but if they know Braille, they, you know, they will have a chance to learn those also. So a lot of different skills we can really get in 3 months rather than for them to go and learn those in the field. Because the next 3 months is really hard because you're dealing with paperwork and other stuff and have clients, you know. So really a person doesn't have the time to learn anything new necessarily other than what the job actually is, so techniques. So it's really important that 3 months we can give as much as we can so that they'll be. Yeah.
I have a question. You know, I think, boy, there's a really high-pitched sound that keeps happening. Anyway, I'm wondering about, you know, the, you had commented, Pearl, on the fact that, you know, that Kathy was pretty much the first person who has gone directly from being a student in the center to being a staff person. And for the most part, I would have real questions about doing that. I think that it's a good idea for a person, especially who is new to the skills and the doing things as a blind person, to be out there doing a job that isn't blindness related necessarily, and really develop the personal skills and have some background to work with other people with, because a lot of times people who come as consumers to get training or, you know, whatever, are going to want to know, you know, how do you do this, not just as a rehab person, but how do you do it, or have you ever done it in another kind of setting outside of that? And there's a lot that happens in that kind of thing. And I guess I'd like to, I mean, I'm in reading what Kathy has written, I've been really glad that she has shared with us more than once, you know, what she's doing, because that has been real important to me along the way. And I haven't brought it up as a specific comment about this particular situation, but just in general, as a hiring practice and as a way of doing things, I think it's a risky business in that sense. And I guess I just wanted some interaction about
that. Sure. I'd like to comment, and then I'd encourage Kathy to, and anybody else as well. But one of the things that made her so attractive as a potential employee was her experience as a nurse, as well as then the blindness and how she's learned to deal with that, and then tying the two together, because all those skills are really important.
My understanding, though, is that she wasn't a nurse as a blind person.
No.
Am I confused? Or
no, she was, I should let you talk, Kathy, but she had that experience in her life. Kathy, you
but what I'm saying is, you know, a person having a job other than rehab as a blind person before being in, you know, not going directly from being a student of blind skills to a teacher of them without having done something other than rehab in between.
Theory is fine, but you have to have some
about
practical application to go with that theory, I think. That before you start teaching other people, you really have to know how those theories operate, I think. I would agree that outside employment is nice.
Mm-hmm. Kathy?
But yeah, give us some feedback, Kathy, because you're right.
We're talking about you.
And actually, I first lost my sight, or started losing it back in 96.
and had my first set of training in 1998 from then until the year 2000. So I was living as a blind person for many years and then decided to go to school, and that's what actually brought me to the center. So I had a lot of the skills, I just needed, you know, some more, some newer ones.
So what were you doing between 96 and, you know, as a blind person, what were you doing between then and when you came to the center now? I'm sorry.
Okay, so I worked up until the end of, till the beginning of 1998. And so then, as a nurse.
Okay.
As I was losing my vision, I continued to work until after a surgery when I was completely blind for a while. So then I contacted the commission and got services. And at that time, my focus was to be competent in my home, which I did. After that, I volunteered for 2 years at a daycare setting. And that worked okay, but then I wanted more. I wanted to be able to do more. And so that's when I went to school. But during that time that I was doing that, I also contacted the agency again, and they came out, and I worked on travel, and I worked on Braille, and I worked on computers. I did all that at home before I ever came to the center. I came there to get the intense training. So that's what I was doing before I came here.
Raise a kid.
This is
Carlos. Oh, yeah, and a single mother, so I was doing all that at home, so.
Thanks, Kathy. Mm-hmm.
Carlos? What caused your blindness, Kathy?
It's a side effect of a chronic illness. And I had a shunt. No, it's pseudotumor cerebri.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah, it's like it's
tell me better
it's
than
that. Increased pressure on the brain, and so I had a shunt put in.
A tumor.
It's like a false tumor. It's not really a tumor, but your body reacts as though you have a tumor. Okay. And so I had a shunt placed to drain all that excess, and it caused seizures, which affected the lobe of the brain that runs the eye, and the optic nerve just kind of died away.
Wow.
Max?
Carlos.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make a focus of brother, not necessarily Kathy. We as a team, we hire people and we look at who we think is going to be the best for the job. In many occasions, we don't have that person and we reopen the position. In many occasions, we have to reopen 2 or 3 times.
Right.
And in many occasions, we hire somebody after 2 or 3 times, and we have to let that person go. Many people believe that because they are blind, they can work for us. And we are very strict, I will say, or very picky in that regard. And we will just not pick anybody who can be blind and work, but somebody who is blind and will fit with the team, with the belief, and also the personality to work on. I guess we can mention, Shane Burrish was hired too after he came out of school. He didn't have any other work with anything else. And I remember I asked Pearl a similar question, and it rang in my mind. Well, we cannot discriminate against somebody just because a person is blind either. We hire the person we believe will do a good job. So I wanted to add that.
Yeah, and kind of a piece of that I'd like to add is that sometimes you get individuals who they not only think they should work here because they're blind, but they actually kind of think, although mostly they don't admit it, but they kind of think they wouldn't be able to work anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's a piece of it that we certainly don't want to encourage or, you know, because if they're just settling for this because they figure no regular place would want to hire them, then that's no good. And I think Nancy wanted to...
Well, and I was going to say, I think that Kathy's evolution to where she's at is really an indication of where we are with our services, because we really promote rehab from the point of application, that we want people to be thinking about employment. And so as people are gaining skills with cane travel and computers, they're taking a look at going out and doing interviews or job shadowing or and developing resumes and cover letters and learning to apply the computer skills to doing internet searches for employment. And so when people are in their last couple of months, we don't wait and say, okay, you finish the center, you go back to your home community and start looking for a job. You start, when you have those skills in place, you're looking months ahead so that you have that opportunity for a job. So she's kind of a product of that whole thought that you can do this. You know, we do believe in you as a blind individual. And then I think an indication of her belief in herself because she went out and did that mm-hmm. and took control of her job search.
Thanks, Nancy. Bob?
Yeah, and another thing too, I think it's happened more than once in the past where we've hired blind people with prior work experience in other places who have not worked out.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. You know, so that just because the person is blind and has skills and has prior work experience as a blind person is not necessarily a qualifier either. You know, there's other factors that might play into why they might not work out here. And they've not made it through probation, they left. So I think, you know, it's something that we have to look at each time that somebody applies, I think, just what does the person bring with them.
I agree, and I wasn't trying to call into question, you know, what happened this time. I was just trying to find out what the, you know, what kinds of things are explored with people. And it does help me in this specific situation, though, to know, Kathy, some of where you came from mm-hmm. before that, you know, because obviously you have done a lot of other things and, you know, are continuing to do other things along with what you're doing now. And so it just broadened that out. You know, when I was seeing in my own mind, and maybe I've just missed things along the way, someone who was new to the skills obviously had potential because I trust the people who hire and that sort of thing. I just was not wanting to have someone new to skills and things like that be tossed in, you know, in effect maybe too soon to something that would be a really good career possibility, but maybe, you know, you might think, oh my goodness, maybe I should have stepped back and looked at this a little before I did it or whatever. So I'm glad to see, you know, to have you explain, you know, where you've come from and what you're doing besides this. That's helpful to me anyway.
Can I have one more thing? I think the other thing that we really look at in that whole staff hiring process, all the other skills, you know, because we have a lot of diabetics, you know, the nursing background is something, and we're picking on poor Kathy, and I'm trying to make this as general too.
So
am
I.
But using her as an example too far.
She probably wasn't ready to come today, Kathy.
But not to direct it. But I'm using her as an example because one of the most important things in the rehab process too is the underserved population. You know, so her interest and her background with Spanish is another big important element because of the increasing Latino population in the Omaha area, too, was another really attractive part. So we really want to be doing that outreach.
That's right.
She's a package.
Yeah, and I know, you know, we've been using you know, one term that gets interchangeably used sometimes and sometimes, you know, and I think that it's a good use of terms in the center to talk about the people who are there as students. I think that the overall consumer who comes to us as a customer, consumer, client, whatever, you know, those kinds of things I think all work out pretty well. I like the distinguishing of people within the center as students because of the kind of experience that is. And, you know, for me personally, it works. And I, you know, I'm glad that that's, that word is there.
May I say something?
Sure.
Well, of course, it's going to be a philosophical discussion now, but, you know, I really may not agree with you on that format. You know, the reason is that the reason we change grade 1, grade 2 Braille to contracted and non-contracted Braille has the same connotation being a student. You know, when we call, you know, we correct our clients to call our blind school because of the connotation of the school for the blind and our students being, you know, that level, younger, and they are adults. And so there is a conflict there that we see every day, that people talking about being a student and a client and getting in that framework, not only for the clients themselves, but for the outsider. So.
Oh, to me, it's more like a higher education student. I mean, we are talking about adults, and so wouldn't. And you know, when the comments come up, it gives a chance, you know, an opportunity to explain it. And to me, I don't see that as a reason to necessarily change the language, but as an opportunity to explain.
But sometimes we are in it so much that we understand the difference. But when you're new in blindness, and when the people from outside, you know, when we talk about students, they automatically think that we are serving younger people, younger individuals, because that's the idea of blindness in their head.
And I tend to use the terms interchangeably. Well, it's 10:20. It's really, this has been a fun topic to talk about, and appreciate the opportunity to give you information. Hope you enjoyed the reading. There was quite a bit there. But I think that it has been a good time for us to really think about what we do and articulate it in a real clear way. So.
Well, we do appreciate receiving the material. I think it was especially good to get the connection to the field.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of times when people think about the 3 months of training, we think about the center, and that's a good thing. We also, though, need to know, those of us, you know, who are commissioners and so forth, that the people who are being trained mostly are going to be going into the field, and so to know that connection, to have the you know, the list of readings and things like that, and to know that people do connect with the field kinds of things right away, was a really rounded way of getting the information. And so, you know, I do appreciate all of the aspects of it.
And it's really important to have that high-end, and the key reason, beside the strength in the center itself, the key reason that our center is so successful is because of the strong work that's done in the field. And it's that connection, both before and after, that really makes for the folks to achieve their goals.
Thank you again. That's this was an interesting, you know, and we'll need to revisit it from time to time, because things do always change. And to some degree, they change because they, you know, the longer something is in existence, you know, the more opportunity you have to do things. When you're first starting to do something, and as an old timer myself, when we were first starting to do any kind of training of that kind, there was, of course, resistance. And so all we could get at first was a few weeks. When we did 4 weeks, a lot of people thought that was just almost, you know, the comment that you were talking about. How can you possibly spend that time when there are people out there and all of that who, you know, need to have something happen? And then we gradually extended it, and I'm glad to see that it continues not only to extend, but to expand in how it can continue. Because that was what we, when we were starting to do that kind of thing, hoped for. And it's good to have it working out that way. Because that was always the intent. And I think that opportunities for people to do the community services, to do things that will connect them with what's going to happen next. You know, we've all through the years, there have been things like the job clubs or things like that that have kind of come and gone, and depending on the time and the, you know, whatever's going on. But I really like the people getting out into the community and doing something and reporting back with it and sharing that with everybody. You know, that kind of thing is just, I just think it's neat.
Thank you.
The next item is public comment. Does anybody from the public wish to raise anything?
So do I.
This is Bob Deaton. Just in commenting on something you said, Bob Burns, regarding some of the negative feelings that we encounter when we're in our work with consumers. That is something that I do address in philosophical sessions that I have with new staff, particularly as in the context of the model of adjustment that people go through after experiencing a loss. But more than just understanding the model, I try to discuss that in terms of what opportunities those different stages pose for counselors when they're working with somebody who's obviously in denial or anger or depression. Rather than seeing them as necessarily negative emotions, rather, in the sessions that I have, I try to discuss that in context of these stages as expressions of essentially a healthy process. You know, these are things that people need to experience and also express. And, you know, if they're feeling anger, you know, and that's part of the empathetic process that we bring as counselors, to recognize that as an important part of what people need to go through. And also to recognize, too, that what we have to offer is going to be received according to where they are psychologically. Somebody who's angry probably is not necessarily going to take the information you have and process it and put it to use right away. But perhaps after they had a chance to work through the anger, they can remember that that there was somebody that talked to them about services and the type of things that can be done about blindness, and they may still have the information that you left with them. And then perhaps at that point they're able to reconnect. Okay? I just wanted to discuss that a little bit further.
I've got a question, Barb, if you don't mind. Jim Urock.
Okay.
At one point, I know that it was, I don't know if I want to use the word requirement, but it was, I guess that's the word that comes to mind, that new staff, after they're hired, attend the state conventions of the consumer organizations and so on and so forth. I'm wondering, with the budget problems and so on and so forth, and the fact that Nebraska has no money and the commission's not, you know, financially, you know, where they want to be, is that something that still is happening this year?
May I answer that?
Sure.
Okay. Yes, within each, within the first year, if at all possible, of a new staff member's tenure with us, they will attend the state convention of ACB and NFB. Usually there aren't great costs involved with the state convention, and we feel it's very important that they do that. So yes, we will still do that.
Okay.
It wasn't, we never did a requirement to attend both national. That depends too much on resources at any given point. But the state ones, definitely.
Okay.
And if there's, let's say...
So they won't go to any of the nationals, is that right?
Pardon me?
They won't go to any of the national conventions?
Well, there may be staff who will allow work time, that, and they've provided their own way there, and or maybe they have other sponsor for getting to one or other of the conventions. And also, as the year goes, as we're seeing what our, you know, what our costs are for some of the given things, like a state staff meeting and some things that we need to have. And then beyond that, what will be the, you know, what are we going to have left is what it'll boil down to.
Okay, I just wondered.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other...
This is Hubert. The topic that is just covered, is there some possible feasibility for a summary or a synopsis of that you put on the website, perhaps for national access to more introduce the programs that the state provides?
Mm-hmm. I believe we have, do we have a link for focus topics?
Within a minute, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, and like in this case, there won't be a summary of this discussion, except what parts of it might be in the minutes themselves. But all of the readings that were sent to the board ahead of time will be there.
I was thinking, you know, along the lines of maybe somewhere on the website would be a philosophy of how the commission looks upon the staff that they hire, and then concurrently the philosophy with relation to the training that is provided to people who come here for that.
Yeah, and
as a direct topic rather than being an accent, having to be sought through the minutes.
Right. Some of that will be like in the link that's about the training center.
Okay.
But we have considered having a separate link that is focused topics, and let's say one heading would be, or one whatever would be new staff training, and then underneath that would be philosophy, just structure discovery, and so on, the specific parts of it. Because I kind of agree that just through minutes, it might be difficult to find what you're looking for.
Or so. Not. If it's in the minutes, it might not be quite that much to the forefront of somebody who's looking at the website to
right.
learn about the commission.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and our minutes aren't to be a transcript. You know, I think sometimes
right.
people get confused between minutes and transcripts.
Yeah.
And, you know, our intent is never to have, never has been to have transcripts of our meetings.
Has anybody ever written the, you know, the Nebraska commission philosophy, you know, program, you know, just put it down? I mean, it'd be something, if it was done, it'd be cool to have it on the website, but for dissemination, I don't know, you know, different agencies come in, I mean, you go to different functions, I mean, has there ever been anything written down?
Well, in what Fatosh wrote, I think that captured a lot of it. In We had a brochure for a while that was a really nice one called Choices. What is that?
We still do.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. we don't really reproduce it a lot because it's pretty expensive. But
well, and years ago we had Taking Charge.
Right, and that has. So Taking Charge is what I'm thinking about. But anyway, so yeah.
I think, you know, the philosophy finds itself incorporated into a lot of things that we write.
Right.
It's just that the philosophy itself is has a different pace depending upon what you're talking about, you know, specifically. It's kind of hard to capture the philosophy in a comprehensive sense, you know, a snapshot, if you will.
Well, just, you know, I mean, the all the different components. I mean, you know, the staff being trained, you know, it's that sounds like it's very unique nationally. The, you know, that and just each component of, you know, I just wonder if it ever been brought together before to, you know, what something that the Nebraska way or something, and so that,
which we did in Nashville.
We have done that in various ways, and you know, as Fatosha was talking about the papers that were. Yeah. That were taken to the what was that conference called?
Successful Strategies for
orientation
centers. There were two things. The first one was in Albuquerque, and the second one was Nashville.
Yeah,
and we had a lot of papers presented at both.
Now, one of the things that happens with anything that that people write down is that, especially when you're using the same words, you know. Each person puts their interpretation on the words, and so sometimes you can say the same things or almost the same things and mean completely different things as they go into somebody. And you know, that's I think that was where my train of thought was going with your comment, Bob Deaton, about it, when it has different faces. You know, it is hard to do the snapshot thing.
Your suggestion, Bob, though, ties in a little bit with something I've been thinking about how to do. I think it would be nice on our website. It's really good, and it's clear, and it has the links, but it doesn't have any text right away, that right on the homepage, that says, this is who we are and this is what we're about. And I've wondered if we shouldn't develop something that really looks more like most home pages have something other than the links you go to. Now, that's not to criticize the work that's been done, which has been fabulous, but it's just maybe to add to it. And much as I hate photos of myself, you know, having the photo of the executive director is something that often just helps to personalize a site. And having, as you put it, kind of a snapshot, a summary of this is who we are and what we're about. And you know, we definitely could put something like that up there.
I think it's good because I think people that, you know, that surf the web for, you know, you never know who's gonna be inspired by it or see it, or that it's, I think it'd be good to have something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
To some extent, that the mission statement does that. You know, it's a very quick thing that people can quickly glance at. That it really communicates quite a bit, I think. You know, but of course, it's not very terribly descriptive, but it's expressive of the
intent. It does express a lot, but I'm not even sure, we're going to look at our website a little bit later, if that is right there when you first go to it.
No, the mission statement is not right there.
No,
I didn't think so.
And that was one of my things to bring up when we got to the website, is that we really need some more get up and get you text on the front page. Yeah.
So yeah. I think we're all in.
I think so too. And I heard our little beep, beep, beep thing, which says that we need to move on from the public comment thing right now, but yeah, we need to keep that thought going, because I think that is a good thing.
I would just suggest, anybody wants anything up there, get it to me, and some way we'll make it happen.
Thanks.
Sean or I'll make it happen, okay. We'll both make it happen.
Perfect.
Or something.
Great.
Okay.
How hard, you know, like that center video that was done, you know, how what does it take to put that on the web to be able
we
to
did.
We have a link to it, Bob.
It is a link. I wonder if we could get a direct link though, because you go to the city and then you have to kind of figure out what you're going to. It's I don't think it's quite the easiest thing to get to.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Maybe we can just have it where you just go to the link.
Yeah, that
yeah, we can figure that
video
out.
Starts. Right. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I always like those kind of links.
Yeah, I do. Definitely.
Okay. The next item is the
report from you.
Report from the chairman. Okay. At our last meeting, we discussed writing a letter to the vendors concerning the Braille on vending machines. We've had one response, and that was from Randy Swanson. I don't know if any of you as individuals wrote back. I didn't. I thought about it. There were the kinds of things that were talked about were, you know, felt to me like we could have the conversation, you know, going round and round, which we have done, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I do intend to, you know, to certainly keep thinking about it, and probably it wasn't a good idea to not say something in response. But, you know, I've also been really careful about not saying things between meetings to somebody over the email. I mean, we had all that discussion in developing our mission statement where we want to be sure that whatever we say as a body is decided about. You know, that we've discussed it and written it back. And so that's one of the big reasons I didn't actually write back.
Well, Barbara, you know, later on in the agenda, there's, you know, we'll talk about that. And I think his response was representative of, I think, of a faction of vendors, and that, so it's something.
Okay, so we can talk about, yeah. We'll talk about that then. And so, you know, but I just didn't want, you know, anybody on the board or anywhere else to be thinking that, you know, I'm just sort of, you know, not responding at all.
Could I make a suggestion? Just a thought would be that whenever there is something like that, that the chair would respond
and say, we're
saying this is kind of how we do it. I thank you for your information. We don't.
And that's very sensible, and I wish I'd done it.
Well, you could just say, you know, it did not, you know, we did.
I think there should be a response, because the response to him is, there needs to be a response to that faction, because there is a faction of vendors like that, and so we need to have a response to that.
I'm going to interrupt a second. Kathy's leaving us. Thanks so much, Kathy, for coming this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Congratulations on your
We're glad to have you, you know.
We enjoyed your document.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, and I also did send the annual report in, as we discussed via email, because that seemed to have a time frame to it or whatever, and we, you know, I got a thing back saying thank you, but nothing about this is what we want you to do from now on, or you didn't really need to do it, or, you know, so I don't know, that was just sort of kind of fell out there, and that's how it is. So I guess we'll do it next year.
Yeah, we need to try to just remember to do that, and if they don't need it, they'll
eventually tell us. Yeah.
We do that thing anyway for the government.
Filing it or throwing it away is not the same motion anyway.
That was sending it to Rehabilitation Services Administration. I just said I sent it. That would have been bad in the, you know, on the tape. People would have been with sent it where? Okay. And then on the 19th of January, I did attend the exit interview for the auditors, and we missed you there, Bill. You know,
something else came up, didn't we?
And anyway, we'll be talking about the audit report later too. But you know, I was a little bit late because of a prior commitment. But you know, I had been at the coffee reception for legislators that the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska held that same morning. So I missed the beginning, but you know, we will be talking about that in a little bit anyway, the audit report. I did also attend the State Rehabilitation Council conference call on the 30th of January, and I sent you guys the things that had come after that from Marlene, and Marlene Malloy, I think it is, and Rhoda Hunter. And that also will be talked about a little bit later on in the agenda. We did also send flowers to Dorothy after her unfortunate accident right after our commission board meeting last time, or shortly thereafter. We did send her a poinsettia, and I did talk with her sister, Evelyn, and she is doing a lot better now. And you know, it's really scary to be standing and waiting for a bus and have a car, you know, jump up there and get you. I mean, you don't expect that to happen. And so that really was an unfortunate thing. So, yeah.
Hopefully the person had insurance.
I don't know.
No?
Also, I wanted to mention that when I was at the commission, I must have been sometime in December, there was a PacMate training that I went to, and I always enjoy those technology training things. But I also did stop in at the center, and we'll be seeing the video thing after a while too. But I got to see one of the little white canes that were being given out with the holiday goodies to the bus operators, and those things are cute. I really think that they ought to be sold. I just thought that was really neat, and I got to sample a couple of the goodies too, which were great. So I think it's really neat that, you know, people getting out into the community, doing those kinds of things, and giving back. Because so often people think those of us who are blind are takers, and we're not. So that's a neat thing. I also liked it when Jan Brandt sent her message about being on her leave of absence, that she did give us the, you know, the technological connections for people to do in her absence. That was, I thought, a very responsible way to do that, and I hope that things are going well for her, and that, you know, it'll be good to get her back. We were glad again to get the anniversary letters. Received them from Mike Rains, Connie Daly, and Robert Newman, Elaine Cavillac, and then this year already again, Bob Shanklin, Mary Davis, and Glenn Irvin. So, good to get those. And we did receive your resignation from the RTB board, Pearl, and that makes sense. I mean, there are only so many things that people can do, and we have to not have you being spread so thin that that you can't, you know, get things done. And you did serve a long time there, so we're also always glad to hear about the Social Security reimbursements and, you know, Dottie's good work on that. And Nancy Kaufman's technology scholarship. We like knowing that those things are happening. And we thank Cheryl Poff for the hand-in-hand updates and invitations. The two of them were going to be during our meetings now. I guess just one of them will, because the today's, I think, was canceled. But and we're also glad that she did send the message to the governor's office for the Deafblind Awareness Week proclamation interpreters, and it's good to get an affirmative response that there will be two interpreters there. So, you know, we really do appreciate continued updating, and we thank Patosh for going back and getting the center evaluations and community project reports and those things that somehow went away in the shuffle or whatever. So we appreciate that, you know, back effort. It's always good to be updated on those things, and we always appreciate Val's keeping us updated on the staff lists, and you know, it's really helpful to us to have all of those things, and we don't always necessarily get a chance to publicly say, thank you, and we do appreciate those things. And I will honor the timekeeper and quit. Okay. So,
Chairman.
Yes.
With regard,
we're officially in public comment now.
Thank you. The fact that the governor's office is sponsoring the interpreters for the Helen Keller Deafblind Awareness Recognition Ceremony this year really is an important step. And I would like to ask that the board send a letter to the governor commending him for it and thanking him for it or something. I just think that's a little more special than the agency. And I think that if you consider doing that, it would be a very nice thing.
I have to make sure they don't send the bill to you, though.
That's right.